Okay, I think everything started. All right, so we're back in the studio now. We're here with Carlos now. What's going on, Carlos?
Yeah, nothing much. Another day in the life.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have Chris here. Chris was
Chris has
a work schedule is not really aligned today, but
yeah, he got stuck slaving away.
I think he just got out late and he's got to go back early in the morning, something like that nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I know it's been a while since we've been in the studio. It's a long ways out here, but. It's good to have you back in the studio.
Yeah.
Everything there.
Be back.
Anything new going on? What's up with you?
Oh, let's see. Started heavy hitting into the whole photography stuff getting really back into it again. Other than that, not much.
You stick with that Sony. What's it? The Sony A? What is it?
The A7R IV.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And what lens are you running on that?
I have two main lenses that I run with. One's a 50, the other one is a 16-35.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You do mostly, what do you do for photo shoots? Like weddings or you do real estate?
So I'll do sometimes some real estate stuff. But for the most part, I try to stick with like doing portraits.
And
just one-to-one shoots. I got a whole bunch of samples I can shoot over to you.
Yeah. It's, there's definitely levels to that, by the way. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a ton of stuff I've been working on lately. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, I know the photography thing's got a lot of. It don't really matter about the model of the camera. It's more just the lens itself. That makes a difference,
right?
Yeah.
The glass makes everything. Like, you can have a $200-$300 camera and throw a $3,000 lens on it, and it'll be like you're running a whole professional setup.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I've seen people do it all the time. I've seen people buy some cheap Nikons and throw $1,500 lenses on there, and their shots, like, they're just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even come close.
I know my uncle, he's looking at one that's it's white. It's one of those sports ones. It's about like
a foot
long. It's like $1,500, but
yeah,
it comes out professional shots.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, those white lenses like that, depending if he's on the Sony side or if he's like on the Canon, because those are only two I know that do that. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be like, you know, your G Master lenses or the Canon professional, whatever the professional line is for Canon.
Yeah,
those glasses are so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I would love to get one. I've had a G Master before, and I really liked it. The problem with it was not meant for my camera.
Yeah.
It was an APS-C
lens.
And it was great, but I lost half my megapixels when I was using it.
So. Yeah. Is it the you had a mirrorless on? Is that why?
I have a mirrorless now, yeah.
Oh, okay. So obviously it's not going to fit an APS-C lens because it's a different
So fun fact with full frame, you can throw an APS-C lens on there.
Okay.
The only thing is what you do is there's a setting in our cameras that say Super 35.
Okay.
So which will actually bring it'll crop it in.
Okay.
So my 61 megapixel actually turns it down to being, I think it's around 28 megapixel. So it's still a very high res shot.
Yeah.
You just lose a little bit of detail, and it's also it's cropped in, so the image is also very close.
Yeah, zoom.
So down. Yeah. It's fun to play around with. It was great. I used it for a wedding. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best experience.
Yeah, that's the only downfall with the crop sensor lenses is that even with my Sony ZV-10, I'm standing really close, it zooms in 10 times as much. And a lot of people don't understand that when they don't have these cameras. They have iPhones. They just think the iPhone does that. But once you step into those leagues of full frame cameras and all that sort of nature is just the ball game itself.
Yeah, once you get into like the nitty gritties of the camera world, like I know you have,
mm-hmm.
it gets crazy.
Yeah,
you know how many little details there are that you need to focus on. Like, a lot of people don't think about like earlier we're talking about your f-stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people just don't even think about adjusting that ever.
They just said it's auto.
Yeah, they just set it to auto or just leave it at whatever its stock is. But you know, that widens out your focus.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And sometimes you only got that one shot to take something. That's all you got.
Yeah, I've been there so many times where I've gone to a shoot and I've completely forgot how to even do my settings. I'm just like, you know what? Let's just run and gun.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So it's crazy sometimes. I know the other night I went out to Sanford and we did an impromptu shot out there. And we found an alleyway, really cool alleyway. I'll have to send you over those photos too.
I think you posted one on.
Yeah, I posted I posted one or two that I was allowed to. The other ones we wanted to wait a couple days till we can post them. Gotcha. Yeah, just because the people that we were with, the person that I was shooting was getting asked a lot to model, because everyone else that showed up were photographers.
Yeah.
And their models didn't show up because it got washed out.
Yeah.
So she was the only person there that could do both, and she didn't want to. She really didn't want to work with anybody for the most part. So,
and the thing too is that when you are doing a photo shoot or any sort of something of that nature, it takes time. Like it adds up over time. You think one shot's gonna take you 10 minutes, it's over an hour, you're sitting there trying to get angles, trying to get your lighting properly and everything like that.
And that has been the beautiful thing about coming from doing street photography, is that, you know, you get that one split second to get that shot.
Yeah.
And I've been able to nail those, no problem. And then when I actually have room to mess around with angles or mess around with lighting, it drives me crazy, because I'm like, I run out of ideas by like three shots in. I'm like, what else do I do this? You know, these people are still posing, but I'm like,
Yeah, you got to get a little creativity with the angles and everything like that. I know when I'm shooting my own photos on a tripod, it takes much longer, but having someone there to take the photos for you is much easier.
It is definitely, I'm getting a random call.
Oh, spam calling you?
Yeah, I was like, please don't start ringing. Yeah. But I have to send these over to you. But
we'll check them out later on.
Yeah, exactly. But just doing impromptu shoots and stuff like that is definitely a lot of fun. Pop up shots are great, and it's always nice to have somebody with you, even with me, that I've been doing this for quite some years. Mm-hmm. It's still nice to have somebody that's been doing it a little longer,
as
long,
to
just bounce ideas off of and stuff like that. And it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I recently was in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and I took my DJI the mini.
Yeah,
this is with the gimbal.
Yeah,
and even on low light, it took some good shots.
Yeah,
I was in the city. About like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I actually took some shots. I'll show you it on here. That way the viewers can see it too.
Oh yeah.
But it was it was definitely different, because I was used to taking one of my the other cameras, the Alpha cameras. So it's definitely different taking that camera. It was much more portable than taking my than taking the bigger cameras. The bigger cameras take up much more room and space, but I mean, even with these cameras, like I'll show you this one here.
Speaking of DJI, oh, that is cool.
Like, this is from the park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fun park there. That was before it was even open. I wasn't even allowed to be in there, to be honest, but there's another backstory to that whole thing of how we went down there. We'll get more into that.
Yeah. Did you, have you taken a peep at DJI's, like, professional, like, camera rigs?
Like, as in what, the actual, like a camera, full-frame camera?
Not a full-frame camera. So what it is DJI makes a gimbal.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like
the
crazy, ones
one
that
of those
use,
hoop ones? Or?
Yeah, there's the hoop one. There's the crazy one that hangs off of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those. I was watching a bunch of videos on that, and it was just crazy. You got like one guy in the back with, you know, joysticks, and you got one guy driving, one guy with a monitor. Like, everyone's seeing what the camera's seeing. And it's just crazy what goes into that. And I've also seen the disasters of what happens with running those kind of setups.
Yeah.
Like, next thing you know, there was one, I was just watching failed videos of gimbals. Yeah. I don't know why I went down this road, but it was
a rabbit hole. Yeah,
it was a rabbit hole, and it was actually pretty fun to go down. Yeah. And it's just watching $3,000-$4,000 lenses breaking off of the body and just going flying.
Yeah,
and it's just like it's heart wrenching, but yeah, no, it was it's crazy.
But really, in a lot of movies, I've seen the production. People lose cameras all the time on production films.
Yeah.
Even that Oppenheimer movie.
Yeah.
They lost that $1 million camera doing one of the scenes there. But
yeah.
It is what it is. That's part of production.
Yeah, we over there at Full Sail, you see kids walking around with Arri cameras. Dude, and it's just like, what?
They'll pull out those really expensive A7 cameras. I don't know which model, but it's one of the nicer ones.
There's that. I know with the students that we get in that go into the film or cinematography, they get FX30s. Yeah, nice, yeah. Right, like that comes.
That's my fantasy.
That comes camera. It's so funny because it comes with your MacBook. You get a brand new MacBook and you get an FX30 in there, and it's just like and then you get a your lenses and everything that comes with it, and I'm like, holy crap, like just between the camera and those lenses, like you're looking at, you know, close to 10 grand.
Yeah, I know, man. The technology is wild with that, and also what they're getting. They don't even know the capabilities of that camera, what it can do.
No.
It's like a Netflix style camera.
Those are Netflix approved cameras.
Yeah. FX3s are even better.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why they give them those. They were giving them A7Rs for it.
Yeah.
But then they switched over to those bodies because those were actual like cinematography cameras.
Yeah. They're really nice. So that's really, I don't know. I don't know what's going to be higher than that, but I think they'll make a camera. Sony will make another camera. That's
FX3. The FX6 is better.
They make a 6.
They make an FS6. Damn. They make an FS7 as well.
Pricey, but yeah.
Yeah, you're looking. I think the FS6 just by itself, I think runs around 6K.
Yeah, I bet.
Just the body itself.
Yeah.
And I believe they're all E-mount, mm-hmm. So you could run your lenses on there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But
what was that? I know I want to talk about the Microsoft crash. What was the other thing you were talking about?
Oh, the Intel fiasco with 13 and 14 gen CPUs, where Intel messed up on a microcode and is causing just a bunch of instability through their systems.
Okay.
Anybody that's using like Intel CPUs of 13 and 14 gen.
Okay.
I've actually started experiencing this.
On your?
Yeah, okay. On my PC, like where none of my Adobe programs are working correctly.
Oh, okay.
My editing is absolute nightmare on my PC right now.
Yeah.
Like I had to go back to using my Mac. And my Mac takes a little while to do these edits, but I'm not crashing.
Yeah.
And losing my saves.
Well, so, we're having a lot of issues even at one of our manufacturers or suppliers, what have you, they had an update back in January, and they're having crashes just like that too. But I think that was part of the Microsoft CrowdFire issue.
It could be,
yeah.
Because I know that hit a lot of companies, especially I think the airlines.
Yeah, it was the airlines. Did you ever see like what happened? A lot of cancellations.
Yeah, like literally airports were frozen for like what, a whole 24 hours.
More than that, a couple days.
Was it a couple days? Yeah, that's crazy.
They're losing that millions. But even that happened that's happened before, like in Las Vegas. That was more of a hack. They got hacked. They wanted ransom. They just said, screw it, we'll make a whole new system.
Mm-hmm.
But with the airlines, they want to get those things up and running because the airlines, they got to get their flights and people got to leave and they got to travel. They have no choice.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad one. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of technology. Just
it's
like one of those live by the sword, die by the sword things with technology.
Yeah, that is definitely the downside of the tech world.
Yeah, imagine your credit card don't work. What are you gonna do?
Been there. It's not a fun time. I remember a couple years back. What company did I have? It wasn't Bank of America. I want to say it was either Truist or Fairwinds. where they had a they got hit with an attack, and their systems were completely down. Nobody could check their balances.
Yeah,
they were in the weird thing is like you were able to charge your card.
Yeah,
and it would get approved automatically, even if you didn't have the funds. Yeah, imagine getting your credit card.
Imagine getting your credit card stolen that day, and they just swipe and swipe.
Bro, it would have been great if it, you know. Had I known that, man, I would have gone and gotten that McLaren.
Got like a few toys here and there.
Right, right. Yeah, just put it on the card.
Yeah, right. That's funny. Yeah. Well, speaking of those cars, what do you think of that new Corvette that just came out?
The new Corvette. I love that they finally threw a twin turbo on it.
I saw that twin turbo V8. That's something that I never thought it would do.
It's an LT7. Yeah. So it's got
6.2. I'll pull it up.
Short stroke. I think it is. It's a.
You want one for 70 grand? The
20 honestly, grand? That's really not bad, but that's also not the right
that's
one.
That's a C7, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one's got the 6.2 liter V8. You're pumping out 490.
That's not right.
That's a smaller one.
Yeah.
The bigger one's in the thousands.
So the twin turbo one comes with 1062.
Yeah, and it's in the thousands. I know that.
Yeah, it's in the thousand off the line.
And it does 205 miles an hour,
I think, give or take. Yeah, without any tunes or anything. Yeah.
Us over at the wrong way. It's 2020.
Yeah, man. Come on, give it the program. We're here looking at the wrong stuff.
My bad.
But,
no wonder.
This one YouTuber, Amelia Hartford, that I watch, they're sending her one, and she got the checkout, and it was absolute.
Look at that one.
That's right, dude. Look at them lines, man. All that arrow.
Yeah, supposedly this is a opening for your air to come in.
Yeah, it is.
For your air to come.
It's open. All those vents are actual like active vents.
So it's practical. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that price tag.
I could buy a Ferrari and something else with that price tag.
Bro, that's a hefty down payment on a house.
Yeah, that is a house.
Yeah, it kind of boils down to do you want a house or do you want a Corvette?
Pumping out 1,064 horsepower.
1,064, yep.
Yeah, V8, yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm so happy that they finally went that route and didn't do supercharge.
They've always done supercharge.
But I'm very happy that they went turbo this time.
Yeah,
I think honestly it's just a quicker spool, and from what I've seen,
there's no turbo legs that I heard.
Yeah, because I think they do that twin scroll design.
What does that do?
You have a smaller impeller inside of. You have two different impellers inside of a single turbo.
Okay,
it's what BMW does to eliminate turbo lag. Basically, you have a small inner impeller that gets that low RPM boost going, and then once you hit, I think it's like 3,000 RPM, then the larger impeller kicks in.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that way you eliminate lag altogether.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's innovative.
Back in the day, what you would do is get a giant turbo and have a very tiny little turbo.
Yeah.
To eliminate that lag.
Yeah. But with that new ZR1, does it have the battery front-wheel drives on it? Is it an all-wheel drive?
No.
That's not it? No?
No, it's not. Oh. It's not electric in any ways. It is all...
Oh, rear-wheel drive?
It's all American horsepower.
Was rear-wheel drive then? Oh, okay.
Yeah, rear-wheel drive. I didn't see that it was all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be mistaken on that.
No, they make a model that's it's called an E-Ray, which is a...
Yeah, so the E-Ray's got the hybrid drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what it is it's got the front. I think it's got, 200-300 horsepower in the front, just on the...
I just think it's for traction, to be honest. I don't know.
It probably is, honestly.
Yeah. But, I know they have that model, and then they have the ZR1 that came out, but... I don't even know how many of those are making either.
What for
the ZR1s?
The ZR1.
Yeah, I don't know how much they would make. If they make like a small batch, so obviously the price goes up really higher. But
I mean, seeing as what the price is right now,
it's like 200 something grand, I think.
What blows my mind is an LT engine revving the 7,000 RPM.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind on
It does what 0 to 60 how let's see how fast
0 to 60
is.
In
2.6 seconds. That the top speed is about 205 or 210 I think on it. I think it's about that much.
You don't need to go that fast in that.
But my thing is though is that okay, it is a fast car and it pumps those numbers, but it's not going to keep up with a Bugatti or a Koenigsegg. Those are hypercars. This is in a class below it, I think, to be honest.
This is still in a supercar class, though.
I personally don't think it is. It may think... Everyone think it is, but I don't think it'll keep up with the hypercars.
You know, I think one of these days we're just going to have to go rent. Rent two of them and take it to the track. Yeah.
I'll take the Bugatti. You could have the Corvette.
That's fine.
You know I'm a Chevy guy.
I'm totally okay with this. I mean, either way, Man, I wonder what this would hold up against.
But just think about it.
A Supra.
Okay, that'd be a good fight against a Supra.
I think that would be a really good fight.
Or against a Skyline too would be nice.
See? Yeah.
But I'm just saying because a 205 or 210 is okay, but you're going against
It's at 0 to 60 really that's gonna make that difference.
But you're going to a Koenigsegg. This is 300 miles an hour though.
Yeah.
Depending on how fast of a straightaway you're going down, it's going
to
depend
on
that.
But what's the 0 to 60 on a Koenigsegg?
I don't know. Look it up. See. Koenigsegg. Let's see. Koenigsegg. It's got to be in the 1s or 2s. I'm trying to Agera R 0 to 60. That's like one of my favorite ones is that Agera. Let's see. We don't have the fast internet people, so sorry for taking so long. Because I know an Agera is all-wheel drive. I don't know if it's all-wheel drive, but a Bugatti 0 to 60 is way faster than those. Why even kilometers? You do miles an hour in America. I can't read 1. kilometers.
1.9.
Yeah, 1.9. Yeah.
It also it's a 278 on the 2017.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm saying, I mean, these it is a nice car, and I'm a Chevrolet person, but I just don't think it's gonna keep up with all those other heavy hitters. What?
It can do 124 miles per hour in 6.6.
Which car?
The Koenigsegg.
Oh yeah. Those cars are out of the world. You go to the Koenigseggs, the Paganis, those cars, and then even McLaren's, those P1s, they go fast.
These things.
Which one? Koenigsegg?
Yeah, the RS.
I'll pitch about $1 million or $2 million.
Let's see.
Once you get into the $1 million cars, are getting more. You're into another class.
How much did you say?
Say 1.2 million.
You might be off a little bit.
Let's do times two then. 2.4 million.
You're still off.
Just tell me. I'm not gonna guess.
Three.
Okay, three's not bad.
Oh yeah, not bad. You got three laying around.
I'm just saying it'll outrun the Corvette. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, when you look at a price comparison,
yeah, it's a big difference. Yeah,
you know, if even the ZR1 can come close to like giving it a run for its money,
now,
like
I would say this, this car will smoke the Ferrari 458s and those mid class Calagos and Murcielagos. They don't make Murcielagos anymore. What does that mean when they have nowadays? It's not the Murcielago. What is it called? I don't remember. The Aventador? The
Aventador.
I think I might take the Aventador out too, but it's not going to take out those heavy hitters that are...
You got the 570S or the 720S. It'll definitely give it a run.
Yeah, but I'm saying that those Ferraris that everybody flexes on, that or Lambos, the... Huracans and whatnot.
The Huracans, yeah.
I mean, this car is above that class. I think that car is more of a flexing car, but it's still a nice car. Like I like a 488.
As fast cars go, it is definitely a very affordable, you know.
But the problem is that everybody buys those cars. And this is played out.
That is going to be the problem. Like you're not going to be they're going to be going. You're going to be going through town. You're not going to be able to tell if that's a ZR1 or if that's a...
No. I'm not saying that. I'm talking popularity-wise because everybody has it. So the value just goes down pretty much.
I mean, eventually, I mean, hey, if everyone buys them up, then, I mean, maybe we can get into one for like $70,000.
Yeah, right. Look at those Hellcats, how much they are now. Everybody wants them.
Yeah.
For a fat car that goes fast in a straight line, doesn't turn.
Jesus, that thing is like,
I don't understand those people that like those cars. I mean, they're good for drag racing, but I mean,
not even man.
A Skyline smokes those cars.
Oh yeah, they, I mean,
I think it's just some kind of stigma they have. Because once you get one of those, you have one of those egos of, okay, I got the fastest car ever.
Right, that, right. You know? And it's, there's a, you know, the whole stereotypical thing that, you know, revolves around those things is, you know, you're either a drug dealer or you're a YouTuber.
Most stolen car in America right now too.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I came across a video where somebody bought one, and the cops showed up at his house like 30, 40 minutes later.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, this car is actually stolen. And they're like, we just paid cash for it.
That's funny.
It's like, bro, get wrecked.
Yeah, it's definitely a car that everybody wants. And it's very, it's just, it gets stolen a lot too. But I mean, that's just part of the game. They make those cars really easy to steal. But even the build quality, I mean, I'm not a big Chrysler person. And
it's neither am I. I can't really stand Chrysler or Dodge, to be fair.
This is Stellantis. You could just say Stellantis. It's just garbage. It's what it is. Stellantis owns all those companies.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. With car manufacturers, I'm seeing a lot of recalls, and I'm seeing a lot of defective parts, too. Did you see Toyota had that recall with the Tundras?
Yeah, I did see that. With
the new turbo motors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's supposedly the... They don't make V8s anymore. It's only the V6s with the turbos. So obviously, it's a first-year truck. They're going to have problems. But at least they were nice enough to take it to the dealer. And so they're going to change the motor themselves.
Yeah, that is nice.
But the only issue is that you take it to a dealer, which mechanic, he doesn't really go to the standards. And they'll just – it's not going to be the same pretty much.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same. Speaking of defective things.
What?
After we did my brakes – what was it, a weekend or two ago? A
couple weeks since, yeah.
Yeah. What happened? My seat, the plastics all just brittled. Like, they just fell apart.
On what? Plastics on what?
On my chair. Like, to move my chair back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the motor just, like, literally ate all the plastic up. I looked down there, and it's just, like, pieces of plastic everywhere.
But that was after we did all
that. Like, literally the following day.
Huh, that's odd.
Yeah, it was the most annoying thing. And I was like, of course, I fix, you know, a bunch of things on this car, and then I get stuck with riding like I'm in the backseat.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, I think you are right with Kia and their build quality, but at the same time, they're...
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at a new car, so...
Just be aware with all the MSRP prices and everything being so high right now.
Well, that's, I guess, because I've been eyeing... the M340. I've been looking at that.
Okay.
And the prices on that have actually been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not too far off from MSR. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like a $55,000 car, but.
Yeah. And what's your trade-in value for that Kia, you think?
Probably like 12 grand.
Better than nothing. It's true. It could be totaled.
It's true, but it sucks when you owe 20 on it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, Chris has the same problem with Harley. He's trying to get rid of it, and he's
upside down, isn't he?
They want less than what he's got to pay it off, which they're only like $1,000 off too. They could at least compromise and give him the $1,000.
Yeah, what the heck?
They're that cheap.
That's wild.
That's the problem with the market nowadays. That it's just...
that's the problem with anybody that bought things through the market hike.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what happened to me? I needed a car.
Yeah.
And the best thing I can get into that wasn't a Toyota was that Kia, but it was still 20 grand, you know, for a not even, I remember I did a Blue Book value on it like 6 months later, and it literally decreased like 8 grand within 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's crazy. I only put 1,000 miles on you.
Yeah, and it just depreciates so fast.
Yeah, it blows my mind. So it's just like it's sitting at that it leveled out around like 12 to 13.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool, you know, whatever. When I go to trade it in, I just have to pay that negative or add it onto my loan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only downfall with cars. The depreciation of value yeah. is so bad. That's why
cars are such a bad investment.
Well, it depends if you got a classic car. Then the money goes up.
Yeah, like if you had like an older Vette, an older Mustang, or we're not going to throw Novas in there.
Why not? What's wrong with Novas?
Bro, you can find those a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I want a little beater Nova to drive around.
Honestly, me too, man. Trust me. Before I did the Z project, I was looking at Novas.
Yeah.
But yeah, any of those classic cars like that, like even if it's just a rolling shell, like people will pay top dollar for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, those high commodity 69 Camaros and things of that nature. Right.
Yeah, you know, like the Chevelles and all that good stuff.
Yeah, think of that. It's definitely, those definitely go up in price after a couple of years, even 10 years later. I mean, once I saw it for 30 grand, now they're 50 grand now. So it's definitely a different.
You can't find those cars anymore for 10-15K anymore.
Oh no. You gotta pay at least 30.
You can't even find I was looking on the marketplace the other day and I came across a 92 240Z and it was a beautiful car. Everything looked great. It was definitely a race car.
Yeah.
But they wanted 14K for it. I'm like, that's a lot of money for something that's probably been beat to shit.
yeah, for sure.
So it's just like that stuff blows my mind all the time. So, because I'm constantly looking on there, because I'm like, do I go and blow what I've saved so far for a new car on getting a new car, keep what I have since it's running, or find another project?
Yeah, find something else. Yeah, it's definitely. So, I don't know, just hit or miss, you know.
It's tough right now, especially don't have the space for it at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, we're still working on trying to find a house.
Yeah, speaking of houses, I'll tell you my story.
Oh, yeah, let's get into that story.
Yeah, so I did find a house close to Belle Isle area.
Okay.
It was about, they were asking price of 345. It was 1,700 square feet. 1,700 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car garage. We went to check it out. It obviously needs new. It needed new floors.
I think I know what place you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a fixer upper. Pretty much. Yep. It had no floors. The plumbing had to get redone. We had to get a new roof put on it. The trees were overgrown and whatnot. I think someone died in it or something. I don't know what happened.
I have a fun follow up story for this. Since you brought that up.
We went all over there because in that area it's a really high commodity, high demand for that house there. Mm-hmm. Being a fixer upper, it's gonna be tough to go against those flippers and those dickheads who outbid you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we found the house. We saw it. Me and my dad went over to our realtor. We saw it, looked it over. It was 345. We said, okay, we'll put in a bid for 350. See what they do with a 20% with a 20% down payment. And see what they do.
Yeah.
And then they came back to us. This is on a It's on a Thursday or a Friday. I think it was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And then the Friday they said they're gonna pick somebody on a Monday because there was over 15 offers.
Oh my God.
We were the first ones. Yeah. But there was over 15 offers. They wanted the highest and best deal out of all of them.
Yeah.
And my realtor got back to me and said, they probably want cash. That's what they're going to go for, is only cash offers.
Yeah.
So we fronted 350 cash for it, and they wanted 360 cash. I think the next best one was the best one was 354K.
Yeah.
And then I went to 360 as our offer with money we don't have, but we just want that offer.
Yeah, you figure it out later.
And the 360 still wasn't good enough. By that time, I was pouring all my money that I was going to use to fix the house.
Yeah.
So I was pretty much fronting money that I have, but I wouldn't have the money to fix it after I bought it.
Yeah, you just have a house at that point.
I have a house right at that point. Because that was going to cover the 20% and also the cash offer and everything like that. But in the end, it was just, in my mind, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the right house for me because it was just too much money to get it. And it's maybe a sign from God that it's not the right house for me.
Right. Yeah. I've always gone across, you know, if something is that difficult in the beginning, walk.
Yeah.
Just walk.
Yeah. It's just a sign it's not for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I like the house.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many houses that we've gone to that we've just fell in love with. And we put in an offer and they're like, sorry, your offer's too low, even though we're offering what they're asking.
More than asking price, right?
Yeah. And you know, we've had our realtor reach out to the owners and ask them, you know, what is the current like offer? And we had one house that was $50,000 over.
Yep.
And I'm like, That is wild. Like the house.
And they'll pay cash too.
That is the other thing is we got outbidded on one, where they did the cash. Like literally, we're looking at the house, went and saw the house, and like literally the following day, they're like, yeah, they got a cash offer and they took it.
Yeah, the cash offer is much faster. Wild. Yeah, just the cash grab is all it is. It just blows my mind. It kind of makes me frustrated that I would want the house to do it myself, the work. And obviously the big wheels come in and do shoddy work, and then I see it go back on the market for twice as much as what they bought it for.
Yeah, that's where I'm like we're struggling with because yeah. I'm like for what we can afford, you would think you'd be able to find something relatively nice, yeah. But you know I'm coming across where houses are anywhere from 350 to 450, and they're still needing some work.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's like that blows my mind. You're spending almost $500,000 on a house, and it still needs to be fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
you're not the only one, Carlos. We all struggle with
that. Yeah, it blows my mind. And back to the whole dead body thing, or the that someone died at in the house.
Well, you find another house with one?
Yeah. We went and saw a house, and we walked into a room, and there was like a perfect body stain.
Oh.
On the floor, in the carpet.
Did they mark it with a chalk, like a mark out?
No, but there was like one of those like little like square like little pieces of paper marking, yeah. Like the like you know it has like an evidence die marker.
Right there.
Yeah.
Like right there.
Right.
Still on there. Right there. Don't walk over there.
Right. Exactly. So it was the funniest thing. I'm just like I'm walking with my wife and. And I see that, and I was just like, "Yeah, we're gonna leave now." Like it was instant. Like, yeah, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Like,
do you feel like it's cursed if someone dies in the house or a ghost in there?
I felt like that the minute I walked in that place.
You got that vibe. Oh,
I honestly here. Did. Here. Like, as soon as we walked in, I'm like, something bad happened here. And I just like I don't know what it is. and then as soon as we walked into that room, I was just like. I think I figured out what happened.
Yeah. But I think nowadays with the housing market and what houses are going up for sale, it's mostly old-timer people there. Just
dying. Yeah, and that's what it was. Like, we did get the backstory on that place, and what it was is actually someone did die in the house.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty tragic story, I guess. Like, tragic in a sense.
They got murdered?
No, it wasn't a murder. It was just, like, tragic in the way that the one of the couples found out.
Oh, okay.
Where... one of them died in the room, and then the other one couldn't walk down the stairs, so they had that like little easy thing where it just like
easy steps.
Yeah, okay. Right. It brings them up and downstairs.
Okay.
And they couldn't get it to work, and I guess they just sat up there for like a few days until they figured out that, and then family came and visited.
Damn.
Yeah, I've come across some like weird stories. With certain houses, and I'm like, that's just wild.
People do that for a living, go find houses that are haunted and stay there for the night.
Yeah, which is cool, you know. Teach their own. You make a weird noise in a house, and you know, the door is open, and they're gone before you even.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta be careful of the houses, and also, I wish there was a way you could spend the night or. Someone
just try a house out,
encounter a house for a night and see if there's any ghosts or not there, because you never know what's going to be.
You
don't buy a house and next thing you got ghosts in there or something.
I remember growing up, my parents rented a house. It was actually in Chris's old neighborhood. And that house just was like creepy. It made noises all night. Like there would be nobody in the house. Like I'd be on one side of the house and you just hear like the house creaking, like mm-hmm. just random noises happening around. And I'm like 90% sure this place is haunted.
Yeah.
And it was just the creepiest place I ever lived in. And that aside from my grandma's house.
Well, you ever spent the night at someone's house and like a friend's house and you just got creeped out by what's in there? There's like a ghost or something like that.
Chris's old place when we were kids.
Which house? The house? The first house he had on Simmons?
No, not on Simmons. Over in Sedgwick.
The one by Allen over there? The one next to Allen?
Because
he lived in Allen's neighborhood.
No, not over there. This was back off of Pershing. Mm-hmm. We hadn't met you guys yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this was a few years prior to all of us meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He lived off of there, and we had a couple sleepovers over there, and there's just always weird noises happening in that place.
Yeah.
But I mean, that could have just also been his dad drinking in the garage.
Smoking cigarettes in the garage.
Yep.
You remember we used to come home after like a night outing, we'd call it. And his dad's just sitting in with a meth light. We call it meth light. It's just a light with a bright light.
just sitting there. And it was always funny because
he's not even listening to anything or looking at a screen. He's just staring into space like this.
Yeah. He's just sitting there. He was just waiting on us. Waiting on us to get back.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were sneaking into his house and we were like three sheets to the wind. And trying to make it in there. And he's like, be quiet. I was like, all right, we're tiptoeing in there. And I go to, I went to close the garage door like super soft, but instead I slammed it. And his dad woke up, looked at us, and he's like,
His dad was definitely one of those guys who was, maybe he was just being caring, waiting for us, making sure we're all right to go home, but.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah, my parents are like that too.
Yeah.
This is how it is being, you know, looking for your kids. That's just how it is, you know.
Yeah, when you have kids, yeah.
Yeah. We had that, I don't know, it was a tropical storm. What was that, like a wave, hard wave? I don't
know. Debbie. Whatever it was.
Was it called Debbie?
I don't know what it was called.
It was like a rainstorm or something?
They said it was a hurricane, but it felt like more of a tropical wave.
It like went this way and like went around.
Yeah, like it was doing some weird things. I know like where my dad lives over towards Gainesville, they got hit pretty hard over there. They had a couple flooded streets and stuff.
But was it a category? Any category?
Yeah, it hit category one when it got over there.
Oh, okay.
So it did turn into a hurricane. Like, yeah. There was a lot of flooding from what I heard.
Is it still going up towards New York area?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So they're gonna have a lot of flooding too then.
Yeah, they're gonna have fun.
Swimming in the subways.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the day after tomorrow all over again.
Well, remember back? I think it was 2012. They had the floodings there, and the whole sub was underwater.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently we got like nine more storms heading our way.
Why?
I came across this like somebody put an article up saying that there's like nine storms. Was
that
like
Reddit or something? You found it?
Oh no, I found it on Facebook from one of the news stations.
Yeah.
And I was like, nine storms, huh? We're still. Do we still have that much time in hurricane season?
Yeah, you got like a month or two left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Remember 2004? We had five of them come by.
Yeah, we got hit a lot.
I had power. We lost power for a couple of days from that.
Did you?
Yeah. It was obviously weird because I was leaving that day when it made landfall.
Yeah.
And it was going towards Georgia, but it was going towards Savannah area, and we're in Atlanta. Atlanta's kind of north.
Yeah.
So it just basically flew it right through it and landed.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It was crazy. We made it though, so everything was fine.
But. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid living off of Conway. There was one hurricane. I think it was actually Charlie or something. I feel like it was.
That was the hardest one we ever had.
And I remember grabbing a bed sheet, going out to Conway Road, and grabbing my skateboard. And just flying down Conway Road, and my neighbor was a cop, and he was doing his rounds around there, and he saw me, and he picked me up and brought me back home. He's like, "You stupid!"
I think everybody as a kid, I've done that as a kid in the middle of the hurricanes go out.
Yeah, I mean that is just the thing you do. Like when you don't have electricity at your house,
you're bored.
You know, like I remember it was we didn't have electricity for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And
2 weeks.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks.
What the hell you do for that long?
It was that whole Conway area. That whole area was down for like almost 2 weeks.
Well, from the Charlie in 04?
I believe so. Yeah, okay. And it was fantastic in a sense because like we just had cookouts every night.
Well, yeah, but you can't wash clothes and you
can't wash anything.
Take showers either.
Showers that we could take, they were just cold.
Okay. You have running water there?
Yeah. Okay. You don't need a pump for
The well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not the well, the
city.
City.
Yeah, the city pressure. Okay. So that was the kind of nice thing about that. So we still had all that going, you know, but the only downside was, you know, we had no electricity.
Yeah.
So we pretty much just sat around. And cool thing is, back when I lived over there, we had an avocado tree. So we just walk out to the front yard, pick an avocado, you know, eat that and throw a little bit of salt on there. You're all good to go. Good times with that. And we had an actual, like, big old barbecue back then. And that whole the whole neighborhood would get together and have, like, cookouts.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's I know a lot of people freak out whenever hurricanes do come by buying up water and whatnot. I mean, sometimes... I think if someone's experienced a Charlie, they know what's to expect. But a lot of people move down here from Florida. They don't really know what to do.
Right. Like, that is something I've noticed here lately is, like, a lot of people right now are, like, way more concerned about, like, getting prepped for hurricanes. But I remember back in the day, like, we heard about the hurricane, continued life up until the minute it hit.
Yeah.
You know, when it hit, everyone bunkered down, and we all rode the wave as it went through.
Yeah,
and you know, and came back. I know in the neighborhood I lived in, they would do the wellness checks.
Yeah,
everyone would go check on each other, like knock on the doors, mm-hmm. make sure everyone was still alive.
Yeah.
You know, it was always that.
Yeah, I know back then, but nowadays everybody's so concerned on getting alcohol before the groceries.
Yeah, that was always a big one too, yeah.
I think when we were kids, we didn't have that concern, but now we're adults, like people are doing that now.
No, I remember one day my dad went to go get the rum, and there was nothing in there but like a few drops, and then we added water, so it still had that color.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I remember he went to go pour himself a Coke and rum, and he's like tasting it, he's like, there's no rum in this.
Yeah.
And he took a swig out of the bottle, he's like, this is water.
Yeah.
And he looked right at me, I was like,
"Oh yeah!" Speaking of drinks, I have this. So I was at a station called Nutcrackers here. I don't know if y'all can see it or not.
Nutcrackers.
It's called Nutcracker. I don't know if y'all. So basically, it's got 8% alcohol in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you see that?
No, I just see that now. It's 1 pint, 8%.
Yeah. See, we're trying to see. Give it a little sip. You don't have to drink the whole thing. Just try to sip and see.
Yeah. Women should not drink alcohol beverages. Oh, during pregnancy. I didn't read the rest of it.
Yeah.
This is like, it's on a whole nother line.
It is. Yeah. Women should not drink. Yeah, that's true.
It just says women shouldn't drink.
They ran out of room on it.
Oh, man. That's funny. Operate machinery.
This is typical alcohol. Government warning.
From the heights to Hell's Kitchen, Riverside. Okay.
So this originally came from the Bronx, New York. And I've seen this. They did a Vice story on this.
Did they?
Yeah, it was this young black guy. Oh, why did I say black guy? It was a young, I gotta be racist here. It's gotta be young, it was a young man, and he started this company.
Yeah.
And it was a commodity in the hood, you know, so that everyone started drinking it, and it's worldwide, it just got big. Give it a sip of see. Cheers.
It smells. Friend. Cheers.
What flavor do you have?
That's mango.
Does it taste like mango?
Oh, it definitely tastes like mango.
Like a sweet mango or like a...
This, you know what I would do with this?
What would you do?
I would grab this drink and put it in a blender with some ice and make like almost like either a smoothie or just like something with a dairy product added into it.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really good. Like some almond milk, mix it all together. I think that would be kind of I think we should start a cooking show.
I think we can mix this with the Mountain Dew or Red Bull.
Ooh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I can see that.
You want to try this Blue Colada one? It's really good.
Yeah, sure, I'll try it.
I'm gonna try your mango one.
Yeah, go for it.
You don't got monkeypox, do you?
No. Okay. Just syphilis.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's colada. You like that one?
Yeah, that one's really good.
Okay. These were 2 for $5, actually.
That's not bad.
Get two of these for $5 at the Ray's Deli over there.
Really?
Got a plug over there. Yeah. You can't get these at Sam's Club.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Start stacking. Yeah,
well, I'm going to have to bring 2 more for Chris so he could try it out, too. I was originally going to bring these for Chris, you and Chris, but obviously Chris can't make it. But
yeah.
It's a sweet drink. Like, it's not.
It is very sweet. But is it? Yours is super sweet.
Where's the? There's no ingredients on the. Well, this says contain coconuts. That's all it says. Natural flavors. I don't see no artificial. Coconuts. They're missing the ingredients on it. Anyway, it still hits pretty hard. I think 8% will definitely put you on your ass a little bit. You drink the whole thing at once. What are you analyzing there?
I was thinking, I don't know, I had a brain moment there. Like
the guy at the store said keep it on ice, like really, really cold. But I don't know. I think it tastes warm.
It tastes good.
Yeah. They have one more flavor I gotta bring in. It's like a strawberry flavor, I think. We're not advertising, put that away. They don't pay us for this. They don't pay us. Mountain Dew don't pay us either. Put this away. So they start paying me. I'll put the product up there. They don't pay us.
Oh, we gotta get stickers for the Max.
Overtime is volunteering right now.
We have to get stickers for the Max too.
I'll just black it out. It's okay.
That's true. I mean, it's a little easier to do on yours. Mine kind of looks like a piece of poop on there.
What are you talking about?
Oh, there it goes.
You have marijuana in your thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of marijuana on there.
But marijuana is legal here. Fine.
Oh, speaking of marijuana.
You know, I have a marijuana store for you too, but you go ahead first.
Yeah. So, when I was in Sanford last week, I found 2 legal dispensaries that you could just walk into.
Like a Publix?
Pretty much like a Publix. Okay. Like, and.
Where in Sanford?
Right over there by the River Walk.
Do you know where it's at? You're in Sanford.
Yeah, it was the way that you snapped your neck.
Our audience in the studio office doesn't know where Sanford is, but they live in Altamont, close to Sanford. But anyway. It's right next to it. That's like me not knowing, like, knowing it is. I live close to it.
That's true.
Anyway, so
that's
you found
anyway,
two,
yeah,
you
yeah.
found 2 dispensaries.
Yeah, right? So I found one that was super chill. Like, you sign up and they give you a free joint, which
a
was
free
pretty,
joint.
Yeah, free joint.
I'll be like a little.
Like, no, it was like a full size joint.
I want like more.
Yeah, I it's completely legal. And then so there was another one that seemed a little more sketchy, but the guy did a full breakdown of everything and. And it was really cool because they operate outside of or inside of Colorado, or outside of, I don't know how to word that correctly, but either way.
Oh, he brings from Colorado.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So everything is brought in. They're down in Sanford under like a trial run as a dispensary because I guess they're getting ready to make it legal here anyway. So they have a bunch of legal dispensaries over there in Sanford. That are selling actual THC products.
But they got all the works like gummies and brownies.
They got everything. Yeah. I walked in there and I kind of felt weird because there's a whole like shelf of vibrators, which I don't know what is the deal with smoke shops.
Well, they gotta have, you get horny. Like, people get horny when they smoke. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, okay, I get that. But it's like you walk in, you're expecting to find joints and you just see a... You know,
big black dildo in front of your face, right?
Pretty much, pretty much, yeah. And it's just there, and you think you might be able to smoke out of it, and it's really not.
Oh, there's
smoke.
No like little hole you could put your
mouth
on it.
Yeah, no, it's not meant for smoking. No, not at all. That is for her pleasure, or his, however you roll.
That is a weird thing. I do whenever you go to hookah shops or anything like that, there is sex things related to
it. I never understood it. You know, I can kind of understand, like, if you decided that you wanted to do a bunch of nitrous and you wanted
nitrous,
to
get, what the hell are you talking about?
You never heard of
like NOS? Like, you step in your nose and you get adrenaline? Like, what are you talking about? Now it's like for your car.
Oh, so this is going to be a whole nother segment here. Okay.
Okay. Well, so, anyway, you found the dispensary. We'll say the dispensary. They sell NOS there too, like for cars.
No.
Oh.
No, it's
make a car go faster, but instead of your body, it's, like it's, speed, sort of. Explain to us what NOS is, for the human.
I have to look it up because I don't exactly.
It's fine. We'll keep going.
We'll keep.
I'll tell you my story then.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously we do cabinetry for a living across Florida. So we had a job where it was a farmland area. It's out in the outskirts of Okeechobee over there. So I'm traveling with my good friend Evan, who's also about my age. We go to the job site, drive in. It's a gated job site. You gotta show your IDs and whatnot.
Right.
And we drive in. We go to park. The minute I get out, I could just smell marijuana. I look at Evan. I'm like, "You smell weed?" He's like, "Yeah." Like, okay, interesting. Because there was greenhouses. There was farmland. There's all you can have. And then we went inside, and there's a full blown lab in there with people in like surgeon suits, whatever suit that has to do experiments and lamps and whatnot. And then I asked the contractor, like, they sell weed here? He's like, "This is a weed farm." I was like, "Oh, okay, interesting." I think it was I forgot the word for weed. They call it something else. It's not a weed farm. It's
grow farm.
Damn it! No, it's not cataracts. It's some other term for it.
A cataract farm?
No, not cataract farm.
It's just a bunch of eye cataracts in a farm.
I'll remember the word. I'll bring it up again. But it's just, it's some kind of word. But it's just funny. Just walking in. This is back in 2021 before weed was actually legal there.
There was a bunch of those over by Tavares.
Oh, Kaleidoscope is what they're called. I don't know why it's called
Kaleidoscope farm.
I don't know why it's called that. I don't know why. It's not a farm. It's just the way they call it. It was called Kaleidoscope of that form. But it was just interesting to us because we've never seen a weed farm in Florida.
And colonoscopy.
Not colonoscopy. We're not.
That's literally what popped up.
No. It was just new to us in Florida because we don't have those here. That was normal in Denver and every other state. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting.
That is interesting. So back to the whole the NOS thing. So it's laughing gas.
That's like helium.
Nitrous oxide. So they sell them in the smoke shops.
Okay. What do you do with it?
So you fill balloons with them. I'm not saying I know this from experience. But you fill the balloon, as big as you want to do it. And you take like anywhere from 3 to 4 second pull off of that balloon. Do it a couple times until you start feeling that like you are almost about to like knock out. Like if you've ever gone under for any kind of surgery, where like you start seeing that like
the tunnel vision.
The tunnel. You start seeing like, so basically what the gas does, it gets you right at that point, and it keeps you there for a few minutes and then it goes right back away. Because it's a very quick, again, not from experience. it's very quick, it makes for a good time, and it definitely does kill a lot of brain cells.
Yeah, I bet all that stuff you're snorting. Yeah,
you're not really snorting it; you're just inhaling.
Well, inhaling it, man. Yeah, all
that. Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of funny because it makes your voice go really deep.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not, what helium is the same. Helium makes your voice go up. That makes you go down.
Correct. Yeah. So this one's the complete opposite.
That's funny.
And so it makes for a fun party thing. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah.
It makes for a fun time. I would love to see see Chris on it.
Ooh, that'd be a fun thing to have.
Oh,
Chris on the heel.
He would be hilarious. Honestly, yeah. I might just go buy a bottle and just bring in some balloons and just let him go. Just not tell him what
just
it is.
Just take it to his house and we'll do it, yeah.
There's no odor to it or anything like that.
Yeah,
there's no taste.
Yeah.
So I will say some canisters have different flavors.
Yeah.
Like there's one that's like cotton candy flavor, so the gas is actually flavored.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
That's funny.
But the only downside is filling those balloons, it's loud as hell.
Yeah.
So there's no way you can really sneak around it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah.
You can't do so much where it kills you.
Okay.
I will say that you can do a lot to where you knock out.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're going to wake up a couple minutes later and be like, holy shit.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll definitely have to maybe try that with Chris and see if he'll get a reaction out of that. My healing.
Yeah, I just want to tell him what it is.
Yeah.
So. Just tell him to take the whole balloon to the face.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have him here next time, hopefully in the studio. And we'll maybe try that on him. We'll see what his reaction will do. If he probably won't, I don't know if he'll do it. We'll see.
Probably just fall over and be like,
yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, it makes for a good time.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, guess we'll end it here and we'll head out of here. I know you got some things to do too as well.
Yeah.
But appreciate you, Carlos, coming to the studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was fun. But that was all we got for this episode. We'll definitely do some more later on in the future. But
yeah, sounds good.
Head out of here. So see you guys later.
Appreciate everyone who stayed for the whole video. Be sure to leave a like, comment if you have any suggestions or input for the podcast, or if you want something for us to talk about. Be sure to leave a comment in the comments below. Hope you guys have a good day.